Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today we're going to talk about how the new next generation science standards promote pro-Darwin only science curricula and diminish local control over what students learn. In Star Trek, the scientifically advanced race of Vulcans, famously represented by Mr. Spock, lived by the motto, infinite diversity in infinite combinations. Their formula for scientific investigation makes sense. Science advances by ceaselessly challenging old ideas and encouraging people to test new ones. With a new Star Trek blockbuster recently released here in theaters, the bureaucrats who control science education in the United States might consider taking a lesson from the Vulcans. Because right now, public school science education seems intent on adopting the opposite philosophy. Public education curricula in the U.S. have traditionally been controlled by local and state boards of education. However, a long-planned effort is now in its final stages to conform state science standards to newly crafted national guidelines called the Next Generation Science Standards, or NGSS. Under the NGSS, K-12 students across the country would learn essentially the same uniform science curriculum. In other academic areas, such efforts at de-diversification have already been successful. A separate initiative called Common Core was launched by the National Governors Association to create universal standards for English and math. Since 2010, 45 states have adopted those Common Core standards. A similar push to nationalize science curricula motivated the creation of the NGSS. In covering the release of the final NGSS in April, the New York Times reported they are, quote, meant to do for science what Common Core is supposed to do for English and mathematics, unquote. But a more forthright explanation of the motives behind the NGSS might have also been provided by the Times. In its view, the standards will, quote, combat widespread scientific ignorance, unquote. How so? Because the standards, quote, take a firm stand that children must learn about evolution, unquote. The drive to nationalize science standards launched in the early 1990s when the American Association for the Advancement of Science, or AAAS, published its benchmarks for science literacy. In the ensuing years, the performance of American students on standardized science exams slumped precipitously. A 2009 study by the Program for International Student Assessment found that American students had fallen to 23rd in science internationally, ranking behind China, Japan, Germany, and Canada. A 2012 report from the U.S. Department of Education found that less than one-third of eighth-grade students scored proficient in science. These worrying developments provided a new rationale for uniform standards. The first step in creating the NGSS was completed in 2011 when the National Research Council, an arm of the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, released its Framework for K-12 Science Education, outlining specific science content and thinking skills that students should learn. The second step was led by a nonprofit corporation, Achieve.org, which coordinated the team that drafted the final standards, published in April of this year, 2013. The hope is that states will now begin adopting the NGSS en masse. Proponents argue that nationalized standards will ensure a higher quality of instruction, regardless of state or local policies. Critics respond that these national standards weren't developed through a democratic, publicly transparent process. It's notable, for example, that leading groups skeptical of modern Darwinian theory, like Discovery Institute, were excluded from the NGSS drafting process. Instead, pro-Darwin-only advocacy groups, like the National Center for Science Education, the AAAS, and the NSTA, were privately invited. More fundamentally, many fear the standards represent an attempt to wrest away local control of what kids learn. Earlier this year, the Washington Times reported that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave $173 million towards Common Core. Achieve.org, which spearheaded both Common Core and the NGSS, has itself received over $35 million from the Gates Foundation since 1999. Scott Thomas, the dean of the School of Educational Studies at Claremont Graduate University, called such funding an intrusion into the public sphere more directly that has not been seen before. The effort to create national standards has also become highly politicized. The Obama administration endorses Common Core, whereas the Republican National Committee charged the initiative was not subject to any Freedom of Information Acts or other sunshine laws and never piloted. They fear it effectively removes educational choice and competition. Some observers think the entire approach of top-down educational standards is misguided. Centralized planning didn't save the economies of Eastern Europe, and it certainly won't save our schools. Better education won't be produced by smothering teachers with more regulations. We must recruit and equip talented teachers who can inspire students, says Dr. John West, a senior fellow with Discovery Institute. Washington Post columnist Valerie Strauss expressed concern that the Common Core drafting process was done in secrecy, and few, if any, classroom teachers were involved. She warned that telling teachers that they must teach certain things to each child in a specific grade ignores individual development. Even supporters of nationalized standards offer criticisms of the NGSS. According to a report released by the pro-NGSS Fordham Institute, the standards are confusing and promote a one-size-fits-all approach that could lead to a dumbing down of teaching. Federal law prohibits a mandatory national curriculum, so officially these standards are merely guidelines. But Peter Wood, president of the National Association of Scholars, wrote with the Chronicle of Higher Education that these efforts appear to be another attempt to circumnavigate the constitutional obstacles of federalism. Yet there's a strong incentive for states to relinquish local control and adopt a national curriculum. They become eligible for federal race-to-the-top grant dollars. Critics charge the name as a euphemism because it's really a race towards mediocrity. It remains to be seen whether similar carrots will be offered to encourage states to adopt the NGSS. The centralization of science standards might be easier for some skeptics to accept if the NGSS didn't take such a hardline stance on hot-button scientific questions like evolution and climate change. The Heartland Institute, a nonprofit think tank that challenges human-caused global warming, charged that the NGSS contain an environmental activist bias and convey an anti-human message regarding human activities, population growth, and environmental impacts that is not scientifically justified. As for biological evolution, the NGSS make it a core idea and urge that by the third grade, students should start learning that there is evidence of common ancestry. Middle school students are to infer evolutionary relationships, and in high school they hear that common ancestry and biological evolution are supported by multiple lines of empirical evidence. Polls suggest that what most parents will find objectionable about the NGSS isn't that students will learn about biological evolution, but rather that students will hear only the evidence for Darwinism and none against. According to a 2009 Zogby poll, 78% of likely American voters agree that biology teachers should teach Darwin's theory of evolution, but also the scientific evidence against it. For example, the NGSS requires students to learn that similarities among vertebrate embryos indicate common ancestry, but say nothing about the significant differences between embryos in their earliest stages. A 2010 paper in the world's foremost scientific journal, Nature, explained, "Counter to the expectations of early embryonic conservation, which means similarities, many studies have shown that there is often remarkable divergence between related species both early and late in development. Under the NGSS, such evidence would be excluded from what students learn." Once students hit high school, the NGSS would have them learn that similarities in DNA sequences across different species also support common ancestry. But again, the NGSS make no mention that the scientific literature is filled with studies where DNA similarities conflict with the predictions of common ancestry. As a 2009 article in New Scientist titled, "Why Darwin Was Wrong About the Tree of Life," observed, "Many biologists now argue that the tree concept is obsolete and needs to be discarded." Although the NGSS encouraged inquiry-based learning and allowed open-mindedness, objectivity, skepticism, and honest and ethical reporting of findings, they seem to jettison those virtues when it comes to teaching evolution. As of September 2013, 5 states have adopted the NGSS: Rhode Island, Kentucky, Maryland, Vermont, and Kansas. The latter state is noteworthy because between 1999 and 2007, Kansas's science standards ping-ponged between teaching evolution dogmatically and allowing students to learn both the pros and cons of Darwinian theory. When national political winds blew against conservatives in the November 2006 election, the Kansas State Board of Education became stacked with pro-Darwin-only educators. The following year, the state's science standards were promptly reverted to the dogmatic form. Though some recent media sources are hailing Kansas's decision to adopt the NGSS as a victory for pro-evolution-only education, in reality, almost nothing will change since Kansas has had pro-Darwin-only standards for over 6 years. In the coming months, California, Florida, Maine, Michigan, and Washington are also expected to consider the NGSS. None of those states currently encourage students to critically analyze evolution, so more news stories may pop up declaring faux victories for evolution. Indeed, if and when California adopts the NGSS, it may be a small step away from Darwinian dogmatism. California's current standards require students to know how independent lines of evidence from geology, fossils, and comparative anatomy provide the bases for the theory of evolution. The word know implies that students must assent to evolutionary ideas, but at least the evolution section of the new NGSS suggests students should evaluate the evidence behind currently accepted explanations or solutions to determine the merits of the arguments. This is not to say that the NGSS overall promote critical thinking on evolution. They don't. The NGSS mentions only the evidence for Darwinian theory and none against. But perhaps the aforementioned language will give teachers who want to offer objective instruction a little more breathing room to mention some scientific weaknesses in Darwinian evolution. Indeed, fortunately for parents who hope students will use critical thinking when studying controversial scientific topics, the news isn't all bad. For one, not all states are adopting the NGSS. According to Barbara Cargill, chair of the Texas State Board of Education, there is a 0% chance the state will adopt the new national standards. This is largely because in 2009, Texas completed an arduous process of updating its science standards, which now require students to analyze and evaluate core evolutionary concepts like common ancestry and natural selection. Moreover, many educators view standards as a floor rather than a ceiling for what must be taught. Provided that a teacher covers the required elements of the NGSS, they may still have freedom to discuss additional evidence. Tennessee, for example, is one of 26 leading partner states that helped draft the NGSS and has pledged to consider implementing them. But last year, Tennessee adopted an academic freedom law, encouraging teachers to discuss both the scientific strengths and scientific weaknesses of controversial scientific topics like climate change and biological evolution. The reality is that many factors determine what is taught in the classroom, and state or national standards are only one of them. Local school boards, administrators, and teachers still have a profound influence on what students learn. Even if the NGSS are widely adopted, many teachers will still have academic freedom to help their students critically analyze evolutionary claims. Those teachers may represent the best hope for fixing American science education. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.